casual employees, union-free in 30 days, and more on episode 72 of the IR Simplified podcast. Casual employees. Should an employee be designated a casual simply because the employer has decided that that's what they are and paying them a higher rate? Or should they be a casual employee because that is the way that the employment relationship is? Now, obviously, unless you've been hiding away from the internet and Facebook and different pieces of media and all that sort of stuff over the last couple of weeks, you would have seen the hullabaloo that was created by the Skeen versus Workpac decision in the courts, where the courts have taken the common law view of a casual employment relationship, being that there's no certainty about employment going forward. Now, not going to get into all the nitty-gritty bits and all that sort of stuff of the case now, but this is the thing, is that the employer decided that this person was a casual employee and paid them as such, even though they had regular ongoing work. And as to be expected, the decision has caused the business side of the IR club to get all excited and upset and, you know, do their little toddler routine and stamp their foot and say that the government's got to step in and make a clearly defined definition of casual and all that sort of stuff. Now, but this is the thing, is what really gets me about this is that, you know, it's been there. This wasn't an old view. And, you know, as I said, that the courts took the common law approach about the decision about what a casual employee was. And then if you have a look back to last year, with the conversion clause, where the commission has turned around and put into various modern awards the ability for a casual employee to convert to part-time or full-time status if it didn't involve too much of a change of hours and too much of going around. So, you know, that means even back then that the Fair Work Commission was looking at making, you know, the views of casual employees that, yes, if it's ongoing work, well, they're not really a casual. Now, has this happened because of bad advice that they've been given, or is it the, you know, I do, you know, want, don't want to use the term arrogance, but, you know, is it the view that it's their business, they'll do what they want and all that sort of stuff that has led us to where we are now, or is it the thing that it hasn't been challenged before? But, you know, either way, It's going to be, you know, it reminds me of the, the Queensland apprentice payment rate decision from last year or the year before, where all the advice was, or, you know, I think it was even the ombudsman was in that, boat of giving the wrong information out, was that Queensland apprentices in Queensland were paid under a state award rather than the relevant federal award. So, you know, it's the thing, it just, you know, it goes to show that, you know, is it best laid plans of mice and men? It's the thing, is that you can't be haphazard with what you're doing with employment with staff, and you really need to pay attention to it. You need to decide that what you're doing is, you know, make it clear that what you're doing is the right thing. And, you know, getting back to the casual thing is that, you know, if you're giving someone on a regular basis 16, 20 hours, 30 hours a week work on a regular basis, like, you know, you work it out over the span of, 2 months, 3 months, whatever it is, if they've got regular ongoing work, well, why don't you make them part-time? If you're giving them, you know, 38-plus hours a week, why don't you make them full-time? And this is the thing, if you're going to turn around and say, oh, but, you know, it's a casual nature of the role, or you want to be able to get rid of the staff, well, you know, if you want to be able to keep them casuals to get rid of them quickly, then you're making the wrong hiring decisions in the first place, because it's the thing, anyone that you put onto the business to work in your business, you shouldn't want to get rid of. You should be making the hiring practices in such a way that they will help and grow your business. Now, anyway, that one is a completely different tangent, one that I have ranted about before. You know, it's going to come down to the thing is that, you know, with how people are, you know, the unions and all that sort of stuff are ramping up their pressure to change things. There's, if there's a change of government next year, you know, the decision will be looked at harder. I can't imagine that there'll be too many great changes, though it also depends on, you know, how much control that the government of the day has of the Senate as to whether they'll go too hard and make drastic changes to the Fair Work Act or even, you know, create new legislation. But getting back to that whole thing about the casuals, I mean, yeah, if you've got someone that's in an ongoing relationship and, you know, you're giving them regular hours, make them part-time. If you're giving them more than, you know, 38 hours a week, make them full-time. But, you know, it's the thing. We need to start looking at industrial relations as cooperative rather than, you know, what we can get for ourselves and this whole what's in it for me attitude. Using that cooperative view on industrial relations as a segue into the next part, I'm going to talk about a series that I'm starting on LinkedIn called 28 Days to Union Free. Now, I've already published the pre-launch one that was published about a month ago now. You know, what businesses need to do before they start their process of becoming union free in 28 days. Now, the next one will come out on Tuesday, and there'll be, you know, next ones for the next, every Tuesday for the next 5 weeks about what you should do in this particular thing. So we had pre-launch over there in October. Now, obviously, on Tuesday's one, it's going to be starting about day 1 to day 7, and then there's day 8 to 14 and so on. So, and this is the thing is, you know, there's no reason why in this modern day time and age and all that sort of stuff, why there should be any unions in the workplace. Now, what, you know, I do want to make it clear that this whole 28 days to union free in 28 days, it's not union busting as such. It is about getting the, you know, your employees or the employees in the business into their own enterprise association. So that is their internal union. Now, this isn't relying on some third party, a trade union, to manage or respond to or represent their industrial interests. They do it all themselves. And this is what we should be doing. And it ties into something that I've been talking about for a while, which is open book management and, you know, treating employees like adults rather than infantilizing them by going through with, you know, volumes and volumes and libraries full of policy documents and all that sort of stuff. So this is the thing. Getting into it, the pre-launch one, I'll include a link to it in the show notes or may even be able to embed it on the actual page that this podcast episode will be at on the IR Simplified website. But this is the thing. You know, I do recommend that you sit down and read it. Go through it, decide if you, you know, if it's going union free is a good idea for your business. Now, unfortunately, one thing that I do need to say is that, you know, two disclaimers, that all this is for education and doesn't represent any legal advice or anything like that, and doesn't take into account the situation within your business. And the other thing, at the moment, the Act says that there needs to be a minimum of 20 employees in the business. So, you know, you can't start with 5 employees and decide that you're going to go for an enterprise association, build it up from there, which, you know, I think is, you know, is wrong, because, you know, even if there's 2 employees and they want to start their own enterprise association to look after their own interest in the business, well, they should be able to do it. There shouldn't be, you know, shouldn't have to be a minimum of 20. I mean, you know, all you'd need is 3. Or what is it? If you go through the incorporated associations or that legislation for the various states, I think the states have it that you need 7 members and 3 office bearers, whereas if you go for a special purpose company, which under the ASIC legislation, all you need is the 3 directors who will be, or 3 members of that special purpose company. And you can start it that way. So why the Act is written that you need to have a minimum of 20 employees is beyond me. That could be a thing that, you know, it's to keep, you know, certain parts of the IR club happy and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, this is the thing, as I said, I do recommend that you read it, have a look through it, and go, you know, decide whether it is something that you know, you should be able to do in your business. You can't, you know, having said that, I can't see why. It doesn't matter. Even the most militant union, union-controlled organisation, you know, have a look at the waterfront. I can't see why, if things are done right, yeah, it may take them a bit longer than 28 days to do it. There will need to be a whole lot of groundwork done and concessions made and things followed through with, and there may even need to be a purge of management because, you know, you have a look at it, you know, I won't say 9 times out of 10, but, you know, there's probably an equal amount of times where things that have gone wrong have been management or leadership's problem. So, you know, there needs to be a change in the culture in the organisation. And, you know, that's what I've said with the pre-launch bit, is that, you know, go through, decide that, okay, this is what we're going to do. Go through the process of going through open book management, and that is, you know, laying everything out in the open. You don't hide anything from the employees. You know, they're your employees, so, you know, you should give them, you know, there should be some sort of openness within the organisation. Go through that, and if the leadership team can't, you know, change to that sort of attitude, then, you know, I know it's going to sound brutal, but, you know, get rid of them, because what's more important, you keeping, you know, Bob Smith over there on because he's been with the organisation for the last 15 years and he's got, you know, an archaic attitude, or is it more important that you bring in new leaders into the organisation that are going to help build the organisation and, you know, increase it and, you know, help it grow? So, and this is the thing, a lot of time, you know, there will need to be brutal decisions made and all that sort of stuff. But as I said, I don't see why any business should have a third-party union involved, or a third-party organisation, whether it's a trade union. I'm not picking on trade unions here. You know, I disagree with employer associations as well, because I think, you know, do genuinely believe, and yet to be shown otherwise, how they're not part of the problem. You know, and this is what we need to be doing. We need to be looking for options and for things that become part of the solution, not continuing this whole adversarial way of doing things that were going on. So, anyway, as I said, Tuesdays, check it out on LinkedIn. The next podcast that will come out next week, I'll include a link to the various ones. I'll probably give you a little bit of a spiel about it, but, you know, there will be links to it on the various show notes and all that sort of stuff. And that about wraps it up for this episode. Relatively short one today. Didn't waffle too much for the first one back after a while now. For those of you who are interested in anything that I mentioned in this episode, or to leave a comment, you can do so at irsimplified.com.au/episode72. That is episode 72. And anyway, yep, as I said, that's about it for this one. I look forward to having you join me on next week's one. Now, thanks for listening, and bye for now.